going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about perfectionism and more specifically, like the pursuit of perfection that a lot of us, I say us, because this is myself included, that, you know, a lot of us tend to express when it comes to working towards better health, better fitness, improved blood markers, changing some of the habits, the behaviors that we have around our nutrition and fitness, and just how perfectionism can actually be working against us in a lot of context as we work towards different health goals and different fitness goals, and how I want us to start to think a little bit differently in talking about things that I've noticed as a coach and mindset shifts and things that, I don't know, I want to talk about out loud because I see this so often this time of the year, the season of life that a lot of people are in. It's still the beginning of the year. It's the middle part of January. And this whole idea of like trying to be perfect with tracking food or hitting your macros to, 3%, accuracy every single time you track your food for the day, or getting your steps in and being perfect with hitting 10,000 steps every day, or perfectly getting all your workouts in and matching or progressing and beating every single week. Like, there's all these tendencies, and, you know, this time of the year, fitness and health especially just tend to exacerbate some of those tendencies that we have kind of deep rooted within us. And, you know, maybe not everybody has these perfectionist kind of, mentalities or tendencies when it comes to all areas of their life. But for some reason, a lot of people share that same experience when it comes to their health. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a control thing and us perceiving that we just have a lot of things that we can influence and we have these habits and behaviors and check boxes that we're meeting by the end of the day that makes these kind of perfectionist personality traits come out when we are changing our health, we're changing our fitness and everything else that kind of coincides with that. But it's just interesting because not everybody always has that in other areas of their life, right? Like, we're not always trying to be perfect partners all the time or trying to be perfect at our job or, always score a perfect score on all of our exams. Like, of course, we want to do the best that we can, but the expectation of being perfect in other areas of our life just don't seem to come out or be expressed as much sometimes as they do with changing the way you eat, changing the way you exercise, how much you exercise, and so forth. So I bring all this up because these are conversations and things that I've been noticing with clients and people on Instagram and just tendencies that this time of the year tends to bring in people. It's just this pursuit of perfection could be a very slippery slope and just a double-edged sword a lot of times. And before we talk about some quotes and some other things and my two cents and just stuff that I want us to think about going forward, and I say us again because I'm somebody that has experienced this and it still goes through a lot of these things, and I need these reminders just as much as you listening to this podcast and the clients that I work with as well. Like, a lot of the content, a lot of the stuff that I talk about are reminders for me at the end of the day as well, because I'm not perfect, at the at all the things that I'm doing with my career, with my nutrition, with my fitness, with my business stuff, with me coaching clients. Like, this pursuit of perfection has been common in a lot of things in my life. So me talking about this out loud, I know it can hopefully help, some people feel seen and a little bit more validated, because I know a lot of people share these tendencies with me as well. But I want to tell a little story here before we get started, because I think it really paints a picture of, how many different situations we might find ourselves in and how things over time can kind of change and how we can continue to just improve on this mindset and not expect perfection, with us over time. But sometimes it helps hearing stories. It helps me hearing other people's personal experiences. But the whole point of sharing experiences is to help each other learn, is to help each other understand where other people are coming from. And this whole idea around perfection is really, it's been a uphill battle in certain points of my life. Like, I think there's different times in our lives where perfection and doing things really well is a little bit more expected. School, I'm just thinking out loud, is a great example of that, of how you're, you know, you have a grade system and you have A's and A pluses and B's, B minuses, you get scores on your exams, like you being perfect, meaning you get every question on a test correctly. Like, I do think that there are things in our lives that, you know, can kind of, again, exacerbate some of these tendencies and expose us to this way of thinking and kind of influence our behaviors around some of this stuff. I see school as being a really classic example of that, about how we're graded for what or what we do or don't do and how well we do on things and whether or not we were perfect or did all the right things or had all the right steps in this math problem. Like, I found that as I've gone through and as I've gotten older and as I've gone through school and formal education and all that, it's like that has been very glaring for me. So I know that there's shared experiences, there's tendencies that maybe we have, you know, even from a genetic standpoint, like a lot of the tendencies that our parents have, like my mom is kind of a perfectionist and those are tendencies that I grew up with and was exposed to. And, you know, like, you know, always having laundry done and, you know, her making the bed every morning. I'm not knocking my mom or other people's moms for doing this. It's like, that's the way their brain operates. That's how they did things. And, you know, I learned by watching to a certain extent. So there's so many influences on our mindset and, you know, how we perceive the world and what our actions are and how we go about our business day to day. So we're exposed to a lot of different forms of perfectionism and, you know, like being OCD and being super put together all the time. And so, I say all this because I know everyone's going to have their own shared experience, but one experience that really stuck out to me and things that I reflect on or something that was very impactful for me in the moment and something I reflect on, you know, as I get older as well, is experience when I was in high school. And I don't want this to sound like me revisiting my glory days or just talking about my high school experience, because that's never fun listening to people talk about that shit. But there was a thing that happened to me and some things that have stuck with me since then. And I want to use it to kind of transition into other parts of this conversation that we're going to have today. But reflecting back, and high school again for me was like 10 years ago, I think. So it's still fairly recently since I'm turning 30 this year, you know, or yeah, maybe high school was more than 10 years ago. Holy shit, that's scary as hell. But long story short, in high school, I was an athlete. I played multiple sports. Tennis was probably my favorite, best sport. I loved playing basketball. I grew up playing basketball, always had a basketball hoop, always tried out for teams, was on the YMCA teams, some traveling teams, tried out for all the high school teams. And then in the spring, I ran track. And for me, my year was very regimented of what sports I was playing and when. And this was in the day and age where a lot of people played multiple sports. Today, like, you go to a high school and you ask a kid what sport they play or what sports they play, and they're telling you one sport only. Like, that's just kind of the day and age that we exist and live in today. My two cents on that is kind of irrelevant, but it was just fascinating because just 2 weeks ago, I gave a presentation at a local gym here in town that trains young high school athletes and just, you know, athletes in elementary school doing the club kind of situation and just working on getting better. And I asked in the beginning of the presentation, like, hey, what sports does everyone play? And one by one, kids raised their hand. I play soccer. I play baseball. I play football. I play basketball. I play ice hockey. Like, one after one, each kid told me what sport they play. And I found that nobody played more than one sport, which again was very interesting for me. But the reason I say all this is because back when I was in high school, playing more than one sport was kind of the norm. Like, that was kind of the cool thing. It was what a lot of people did. So it wasn't atypical for me to play multiple sports throughout the course of the year. And alongside that, right, you have to allocate attention, time, energy, resources, practice to the sport that you're playing or the sport that's coming up. You know, so there was just a finite amount of time to play and practice all the sports that I needed to throughout the course of the year. In tennis, for me, for probably middle school up until high school, the end of high school, tennis was a summer and then fall sport. And then I would pick up a basketball and I'd maybe play here and there, but basketball season started once tennis season ended. And for those reasons, I suspect, and I just hypothesize here, and I know I'm right, but I never developed the skill sets and the capabilities and, again, just the skills on the basketball court that I did on the tennis court because I was spending less time playing that. So my freshman year or in eighth grade or seventh grade or, you know, going into my JV year, varsity year, and so forth, I was always good enough to make the team. I was always decently athletic to be able to play defense and get rebounds and do all the things that coaches admired, right? Like scoring the basketball is one thing, but there's so many roles and responsibilities and just other characteristics of good basketball players besides scoring the basketball, which again is what a lot of coaches and what a lot of people look for. But that was never my strong suit, giving high energy, playing defense, doing the dirty work, just kind of being a good teammate. Like those were the things that I usually brought to the table. And again, there was a capacity to like how skilled I was dribbling or how I could score or how many three pointers I shot. Like I was always kind of the player that made the team, that worked hard in practice, that maybe got some minutes each game, but I was never the starter and I was never the person that was, you know, the leader of the team necessarily. And I noticed that and I wanted more than that because basketball was something that was really fun for me. It was really, it was a really fun sport. There's something about, you know, being in a gym in the winter and a lot of the kids go to the games. Like it's just being on the high school basketball team was kind of a fun and a big deal. And I wanted more out of that experience. And I remember my junior year, I didn't play hardly any minutes throughout the course of the year. And it was that year and it's when I had kind of like an exit interview with the coaches and we actually had a transition in coaching staff that junior year going into my senior year and one of the assistant coaches eventually became the head coach. And one of the things I asked him was like, hey coach, like how could I get better? You know, like how next time we, you know, have the season or next time around, like could I maybe get more minutes or what are you looking for in a starter? What are things that I could do in practice to get better, right? Like how can I just earn more minutes on the court? And one of his responses was, you got to play more, you know, you got to put more practice time and effort in around the season so you can develop your skill set and stand out a little bit more and be just to be a better teammate, be a better all around basketball player instead of just doing the things you do well, you know, just do that now. And so I took that to heart. And that next summer, over the summer, when normally my weeks would look like just like practicing tennis at least 1 to 2 hours a day, I would sign up for summer camps or play with my teammates and kind of just get ready from July to August. And then school started in August, September, and we would start our season then. But I remember when school ended going into my senior year, I ended up signing up for a basketball camp that was held at a Boys and Girls Club with a coach that coached another high school team in our local area. And I remember signing up, it was like an 8 to 10 week type of practice where 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. every single morning, we would come to the gym and we'd practice and we'd play. And there was kind of a traveling team that we built around that we would go play in the Bay Area and California and all that stuff. But my coach, who was then going to be my coach for my varsity team my senior year, would also come periodically. He was good friends with the main coach that was kind of organizing that event. And at the time I remember signing up, I was very excited. You know, it was a lot of just like skill set improvements, dribbling, playing defense, talking about just like basketball, basic IQ stuff, practicing your shot, practicing three free throws, practicing situational type of experiences that when it came to playing in a game, like you were a little bit more confident and a little bit more aware of your surroundings. And I think, again, remind you at the time, you know, I played multiple sports and a lot of the messaging around movies and coaches and other mentors and other people that I've been surrounded with at the time was this whole idea of like practice makes perfect, right? Like that was just the motto of like the early 2010s, you know, and like early 2000s. I think you saw that. I remember pretty vividly, like watching Remember the Titans. I know a lot of people can identify what movie that is, that football movie. Denzel Washington was the kind of the head coach that comes in and takes over this team. And there's a lot of really good messages in that movie, a lot of, kind of racial complications and things that team had to work through and just a lot of like mindset stuff. But I remember one of the big messages and when the coach came and started to take over the team and was talking about practice and the way they practice and how you watch this on the screen was like, perfection is what we're after. And there was a scene in that movie where he's talking to the team and it's like, we will be perfect in all assets of the game. You drop a pass, you run a mile. You know, if you miss a block assignment, you run a mile. If you are late to practice, you run a mile. If you don't give 100% effort, you run it. Like, we will be perfect in every facet of the game, and perfection is what we're expecting of you. So, mind you, as an athlete exposed to different coaches, exposed to movies and social media was coming popular at that time as well. But like, perfection is just something that was embedded within my brain. And it was kind of the expectation that was put on ourselves. But it was also the message from the coach that, you know, a lot of people were kind of just talking about, you know, in those days. So nothing of that nature was really abnormal to me. But long story short, when I was doing this basketball camp and my coach was there and there was other coaches there and we would travel, like about halfway through, I remember there was a part of practice where we were doing like a free throw drill and everyone goes out one by one. And if you make the free throw, then you have to run down the, or you don't run down the court. Or if you miss it, then everyone has to run and do a UCLA. And you, the whole premise is like, the more people miss and the less perfect you are with your free throws, the more you have to run. So it's kind of like a punishment conditioning type of drill. But I remember there was a conversation around perfectionism, and I'm going to butcher the delivery of this, but it's just more of the messaging and kind of the experience as a whole. But I remember, I don't know if it was myself or somebody else, where it was just like, hey, yeah, practice makes perfect, right? Like let's get a perfect, you know, 10 for 10 free throws here. And I remember my coach saying and interrupting everybody. He's like, fellas, like, perfection is not what we're after here. Like, practice does not make perfect, okay? We're looking for progress, not perfection. And it was that last sentence, that last quote, this idea of like, hey, we're just looking for you to progress. We're not looking for you to be perfect. It was something that was very just like robust at the time. It was very new. It was very against the grain from all the messaging and all the other coaches and all the expectations that you've kind of just had throughout your life up until that point. Like, that was the first time that I had a coach challenge that mentality of like, hey, perfection is not really what we're after here. We just want you to keep showing up. We want you to keep getting better, keep chipping away day by day. And that quote, for some reason, has stuck with me. I'm sure he didn't make up that quote. Coach Oaks, if you hear this, you know, you can confirm or deny that. But I know that's been kind of messaged a lot and marketed a lot in the nutrition community. It's also something that I've kind of been notorious of saying here to my clients and on the podcast of like, hey, perfection is really not the ultimate goal here. It's not the thing that everybody needs to be striving for. And making small, you know, meaningful progressions over time, keep showing up, taking imperfect action. It's another quote that an old mentor gave me when I was entering my business kind of for the first year. And I was learning from other dietitians and other people who have done what I was hoping to do at the time. And I remember that quote of, hey, imperfect action always beats standing still. And that's something that resonated with me. It's something that I was able to kind of connect the dots looking backwards a little bit, thinking back to high school and thinking about my experience at college and so forth. But long story short, from that moment, that was something that really stuck with me. And I remember in that moment feeling like some sense of relief, right? Like, I know a lot of people can think back to a time in their life where perfection was something that was expected of you, or you were expecting that of yourself, right? And when you don't execute on that, or you don't feel that things went quote unquote perfectly, there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of shit talking that we can kind of do to ourselves, or, you know, having a coach chew you out because you missed a play or you weren't here on time or whatever it is, right? There's a lot of examples of what perfection might look like and what people's definition of that is. But I remember just a weight being lifted off my shoulder and feeling like, oh shit, like I'm not here to just be perfect all the time and to make every shot I take and to make every free throw that I take and to never let my man score on defense. Like, I remember in the moment, it helped me play a little bit more free, helped me play a little bit more confidently, ironically, because the fear of making a mistake was no longer in the back of my head as much as being perfect and being overly methodical and overthinking things to the point where I was making more incorrect plays or passes or whatever it was, because that was what the textbook or that's what the coach said and recommended. So a lot of it allowed me to just be a little bit more fluid, be a little bit more neutral, be a little bit more forgiving of myself when things didn't go perfectly or perfectly according to plan. And just kind of fast forward, finish that, that kind of like, 8 to 10 week type of basketball program. Come that next season, I ended up, of course, making the team. I was a starter for the first time ever in my life. And I was actually a captain, kind of a team captain on the team as well. And a lot of it was just because I put extra effort in. You know, I'd proven to the coach, you know, I did what he said essentially, is like, hey, I ask you what I need to do, I'm going to do it. And I got rewarded for that. And that was another life lesson that was very, you know, helpful for me to experience at the time. But yeah, long story short, I made the team and there was a lot of good things that happened that year. But that quote and that experience alone, just, it really helped paint a picture of like how I need to approach my life and all other areas of my life and business, with my clients, with my own personal fitness and nutrition, with my own running, with the sports that I play, you know, with my expectations that I have from my partner and my expectations of myself being a partner, being a future parent, being a dog, you know, parent, a dog dad, you know, insert literally any life situation. It's like me abolishing this idea of perfection has really been a benefit. It's been something I've been working on in therapy for a long time as well. It's not something that just clicked overnight and I heard this one quote and then was forever changed, right? It's like ironically practicing that, right? And continuing to reframe and challenge those mindsets and put myself in these different situations helps with that over time. But it's been a skill set. It's been a mental muscle that I've been able to develop over time. And it's something that I want more people to appreciate. And I think this whole practice makes perfect, again, kind of mindset that a lot of people find themselves being told or have been told in the past or have this expectation that they need to be perfect in all assets of their life or certain aspects of their life. I think when we break that kind of quote down and we break that kind of like messaging that we have to ourselves or other people's messaging towards us, we start to realize the impracticality of being perfect and why that is actually not something that is worth striving for. And actually getting out of that mindset is probably going to be more productive for you over the long run than you trying to strive for perfection all the time. Because at the end of the day, we all know that perfection is just unrealistic, okay? It's not always attainable. It's not even necessary for a lot of the things that we want or a lot of things that we're striving for. And more often than not, like this pursuit of perfection leads to more frustration and burnout and just people being overly self-critical, like unnecessarily overly self-critical, to the point where they're constantly stopping and starting, or to the point where they're taking steps backwards instead of staying in the same spot or continuing to progress. It's like if someone is not taking exactly one step forward every single day and you have this mindset that if you're not doing that, then you're failing or you're not meeting your own expectations, you're not making meaningful progress. That is when people take one step forward or two steps forward and then 10 steps back, right? And you see that play out a lot in people's health and fitness routines, or people fucking going whole 30 or whatever to start the year, doing 75 hard, and they make it to 20 day 22, and then they forget to take their cold shower or work out for the day or drink their water. And it's like, holy shit, I got to start over completely. When it's like, yeah, you know what? Like maybe being able to look back and reflect and acknowledge all the smaller steps that you were able to make, that for a lot of people is far more beneficial and is far more likely to lead to progress than somebody placing the expectation of perfection on themselves at all times, right? And that's my problem with some of these diet plans and programs and workout regimens and, you know, jumpstart challenges. It's like for a lot of people, the expectation of themselves is perfection. A lot of companies, programs, like they push this idea of like, hey, if you hit your checklist every single day and you don't miss a single day, you're going to get to where you want to be. It's like very rarely do people actually get to that endpoint exactly where they want to be, right? Yeah, maybe they're closer, but maybe they did things a little bit more aggressively than they would have. And the likelihood of them regressing or not keeping up with that same pace over time exponentially goes down once that timeline expires. And I think that this whole idea of like quality over quantity, I think is worth discussing here, because the idea around perfection is just like crossing stuff off your to-do list, right? Like executing on things perfectly every time, every opportunity that it's presented to you. When in reality, it's like, hey, take me going back to that basketball camp. It's like, I could have showed up for 8 to 10 weeks and did all the drills and tried to be perfect with everything. And, or even just me showing up and being perfect with my attendance, right? Like having that mindset might not be as impactful or as helpful as actually going there and being open-minded and being open to being coached, right? Like a lot of people just go and say they were there and they show their face and they're not actually there to learn or to be educated or to practice new skill sets. It's like sometimes people thinking showing up and doing that perfectly is enough when it's the quality of reps, it's the quality of work. Even if the frequency is far less, that is when we start to see positive habits start to be reinforced. That's when we start to see, you know, people get in this mindset of like me just doing something to the best of my ability all the time. Like that's going to lead to mastery. When in reality, it's like sometimes taking a step back and objectively looking at what it's going to take to where you want to be. Like, how can we be more efficient? How can we be more time efficient? How can we be more, you know, just more on top of things that are going to give us a better return on our investment instead of just going through the motion and doing things day to day to day, expecting that we're going to get to where we want to be after 8 weeks or after 10 weeks, for example. So a lot of it has to do with the quality of the reps that you're doing instead of, hey, you know what? I'm going in, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. I signed up for the Orange Theory Jumpstart program. I'm going to work out 5 or 6 days a week at Orange Theory. And it's like, yeah, by week one or two, like you're just going through the motions. Like you're not sprinting harder each week. Like you're not lifting more each week. You're not recovered from the workouts. Like maybe you're going and you're being perfect with how many exercise workouts, whatever it is that you're getting for the week, but the quality of those workouts might be lacking, right? And maybe that same person might be able to get more out of those workouts if they actually took 3 or 4 rest days throughout the course of the week, right? Maybe they did 3 to 4 workouts max, or maybe they did 3 Orange Theory classes and 1 lift class. And that allowed them to get better quality workouts when they went in there because they were more well-rested. They weren't having like a ton of lingering soreness. They weren't kind of dreading the next workout class and getting to the point where they weren't looking forward to training because they were burning themselves out so quickly. It's like there's a lot of situations where doing more isn't always better. And the quality of what you're doing is far more important than the amount of stuff that we're doing at the end of the day. So I noticed that. I've noticed this whole like, hey, perfectionism, it's not realistic. Like the quality of the work that you do and what you do when you do things is far more important than the amount of that. Sometimes that there are situations where quality and the amount of things matter far more importantly than other times. Like if we're looking at extremes here and we have a bodybuilder who's prepping for a bikini competition in 16 weeks, it's like, this discussion is going to be a lot more different than somebody who is just trying to lose 15 pounds and improve their LDL cholesterol and get out of pre-diabetic range. It's like the approaches might be very different, but still the mindset for that person who is just trying to get healthier, the expectations that they put on themselves, that might be a situation where not feeling like you need to be perfect and not feeling like you have to do everything exactly right all the time. Like there is an opportunity that, hey, you just doing the things that are going to give you the biggest return on your investment, doing those consistently and doing that in a way that's practical for you, that you can be adherent for longer than a month, 2 months, a year, ideally for the rest of your life. Like that is when you are going to see a lot of these improvements happen over time and you're going to get to a place and you're going to maintain that a lot easier compared to somebody or some of these other situations where there might be more demands for them in the moment. But again, I'm not really talking to the person prepping for, you know, their first bikini competition right now. But yeah, the last thing I really wanted to say about this whole perfection mindset is like, I think this idea that there's a final destination and how perfectionism can kind of contribute to that, that is where we see some more harm than we see benefit. Like this idea that there's a perfect destination that we're going to get to, or that once we get to a place where we're perfect with everything, then we're going to be happy. You know, it kind of takes away your ability to have a growth mindset, right? Like you kind of have a fixed endpoint. You have a fixed destination. You have a fixed mindset of what you need to do each week. And there's less fluidity. There's less flexibility. You know, there's less being a little lenient on your plan. And for people as they progress through their health and fitness pursuits and as they continue to get older, it's like what's practical and what's realistic and what's important for you is going to change over time. And being a little bit more appreciative of the fact that there's always going to be kind of moving targets or moving goalposts or you coming up with new goals. Like, I want that to be part of this plan as well. Like, this whole idea of expecting yourself to be perfect kind of implies that there's only one destination that you could get to, and there's only one way to get to that destination, when in reality, we know there's an infinite amount of ways of you know, habits and strategies and paths that we could take to get to where we want to be, or just get to a place where we're better than where we are today, or get to a place where we're better than where we were 3 months ago or 6 months ago or 10 years ago. And so I think embracing this growth mindset is very difficult when you have somebody who is expecting perfectionism from themselves in all facets of their life, especially when it comes to health and fitness. And I think that appreciating the fact that you're learning and there's room for improvement, and it's just a constantly, like, you know, ongoing process with this. It's a little bit, again, more freeing, a little bit more motivating, a little bit easier to show up and to continue to kind of do all the things you need to do better and a little bit more consistently, instead of being perfect for a period of time followed by fuck it mode, or just doing completely nothing and going back and forth between trying to be perfect and not doing anything at all. Like, that's where this whole all or nothing mindset can kind of kick in. So yeah, at the end of the day, when people absolve their self from perfection, it's like, you are going to notice that you're not having as much pressure, internal pressure that you feel day to day, or when you're not fixated on being perfect in every single instance, like, even small mistakes, right, in those situations feel like failures to people, you know? But when you start to reduce the amount of pressure that you have, or you have less pressure that you feel to execute on things day to day, week to week, month to month, you can actually focus on some small progressions, and it gives you a little bit more opportunity to give yourself grace and to just keep moving forward at smaller increments instead of, again, taking steps. Like, if I told you that you could take a quarter step today instead of taking a step back or not moving at all, chances are a lot of people would take that, right? But a lot of people think that we need to, again, be making a perfect stride every single day to keep making that progression to get to where we want to be and to be able to stay there, when in reality, a lot of times there are going to be times where you can take bigger steps forward, you can take smaller steps forward. And fuck, believe it or not, when you can get to a place where regression and not regressing, right, is part of the goal, like, that is so impactful, and there's so much progress and lessons to be learned in that mindset when you're not always trying to think, how can I put my pedal on the gas and go full throttle here? There are times where we can push towards things. There are times we have more opportunity to, yeah, just to step on the gas, figuratively speaking, a little bit more. But there are times in people's lives where not regressing and maintaining and just doing things consistently is good enough, right? For people, and myself included, I've been thinking about this a lot, but like me, when our baby's born and we are sitting here and I'm not getting my four workouts in a week and I'm not getting my runs in every week, and maybe my steps drop from 10,000 to 7,000 or 6,000, and, you know, maybe my nutrition is a little bit more sporadic. It's like, hey, what is the bare minimum, or what are the things that I could do to just maintain the level of fitness and health and everything else that I've gotten to this point? And for me, like, that looks like progress for me. But people with perfectionist mentalities are not able to think that way. They're not able to get their headspace into a space where that looks like progress and that looks like something that is actually benefiting them, when a lot of people think that that's something that is detrimental, when in reality, there's a lot of benefits that can come from that too. So I think reducing the pressure that you feel on yourself is one of the biggest things that you will feel when you absolve yourself from perfection. You kind of continue to work against some of this all or nothing mentality that you can feel when you're working towards better health and fitness. But the whole, like, embracing and learning from mistakes and growing at a slower pace, but at a more consistent pace, and you building a little bit more confidence, and, you know, you experiencing all these things become a little bit more attainable. They become a little bit more evident in your life and in your situation, and they become a little bit more productive at the end of the day than you trying to fucking dot your I's and cross your T's every single day for the rest of your life. I just think that most people sitting here can appreciate that sentiment with me, that, like, you know, practice does not make perfect, right? Making small progressions so you get better over time is really the game that a lot of us need to be playing. And I think that me being told that at a younger age and being told that by a coach that said something differently than maybe other coaches that I was hearing at the time or had in the past, that was something that's definitely stuck with me. And it's something that I'm even tapping into today and having conversations around with clients and, you know, having this conversation today on a podcast, just sharing that experience, because I think a lot of people can benefit from shifting their mindset more into that. How can we make small progressions here? And how can we make some progress every single day, get 1% better every single day, instead of trying to be perfect and execute a plan to perfection all the time, when in reality, it's likely doing a lot more damage, especially from a mental standpoint, than it is actually benefiting people at the end of the day. And again, it's all easy to just talk about this on a podcast and to leave you with that and say, yeah, go be better and go just focus on small progressions instead of being perfect all the time. I'll be here every step of the way giving reminders, and I'll do everything that I can to keep reinforcing that mindset. But I just wanted to share a story today and talk about some things that I've been thinking about and talking about, just some conversations that I've been having with clients and just people this time of the year. Just this season that we're in brings a lot of these perfectionist tendencies out of us for some reason. And I want you guys to appreciate the fact that there are other ways to do it. And that's not the only way to do things. And that, quite frankly, like you changing your mindset around some of this stuff, you might get through this whole year and, you know, this time next year, you're sitting here in a far different place, in a far better place, because you remove this like perfectionist type of standard from yourself when it comes to your health and fitness. And instead of you feeling like you're starting from scratch all over again this time next year. So that is possible for you. I know a lot of people still struggle with this, and it's not something that I can just snap my fingers and everyone's going to be, you know, perfect and able to think this way. But the more you're exposed to this, the more you hear these messages kind of working against some of the things that you might be telling yourself or what other messages might be telling you in the online fitness space and in anywhere else, I think the better off that you're going to be and the better you are going to be at making decisions that are more positive, right? Helping you take positive steps in the right direction going forward. So I'm going to leave the podcast on that. I hope this helped a little bit. I just wanted to kind of come on and word vomit a little bit about this whole perfectionist mentality, because it's just something that I see a lot of people struggle with. And it's just, I think it's just, it's more unproductive than it is productive from a headspace standpoint as you keep working towards whatever goals you're working towards this new year and beyond. So keep these things in mind. If you have any questions, please don't be afraid to reach out. But hopefully that story helps a little bit, and some of my shared experience and some of these things just helped you acknowledge or identify certain things in your life that could, you know, make some meaningful progressions on, or think back to past mentors or experiences that you've had in your life that you can kind of lean on in hard and difficult times like this. And I think that at the end of the day, the more we think about this stuff and the more aware we are and the more honest we are, the better off that we're going to be over the long term. So keep up the good work. I'm always rooting for you. You know where you can find me if you have any questions at all. Until next time, though, remember to eat with a purpose, train with attention, think with confidence as you work towards your nutrition and fitness goals. Keep taking care of yourself. I'll see you on the next episode. Peace. Thank you again for listening to this episode. If you found value and enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media. If you do, make sure you tag me so I can say thanks. Or if you're on iTunes, scrolling down and leaving a 5-star review would be much appreciated. And if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always find me on Instagram at LukeSmithRD. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.